I want to speak about divine appointments. Luke chapter 1, let's begin reading in verse 5. Luke 1, verse 5. It was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were well stricken in years. It came to pass that while they executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. When Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And the wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." And the angel answering said unto him, "I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak until that day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." So Zacharias, this priest, is in the temple performing his assigned duties. He and his wife had been praying for years for a child, and God had not yet answered that prayer. But his ministers, this angel appears to him, informing him that his wife is in fact going to bear him a child. Now keep in mind, Elizabeth is cousin to Mary, who gave birth to Jesus Christ. These two women are cousins. That makes Jesus Christ and John the Baptist cousins. John the Baptist is chosen for this special role to serve in the plan and the purpose of God. And this couple is chosen by God to participate in this thing. This incident occurs 6 months before Mary conceives with Jesus Christ. So the cousins are just 6 months apart in age. And an angel appears to her 6 months later, just like he did to Zacharias here, informing her that she is a chosen vessel by which God will come into this world in human form. Now, I want us to look at some things about Zacharias here. And first is this, his position. We've already mentioned he's a priest, but looking at his character some as well. But he is a priest, as it says in verse 5. It speaks about the course that he is of. The priests, the descendants of Aaron, were divided into three sections. And then of those three sections, they had certain times, they were divided into 24 courses. So twice a year, for a week at a time, those, according to their course, had to come and perform the service of the tabernacle. This is Zechariah's time. This one time in the year, another time 6 months later. But he has a week that he has to be there with others of his family and serving in the tabernacle there. Their responsibility was to offer incense in the temple. Now the temple was broken up into, you had what was the outer court, where they had the brazen laver, which was a great basin with water in it. And the priests would first, as they came into this court, they would wash their hands. Then beyond that was what was called the brazen altar. That's where the sacrifices were actually burnt, on that altar. But then there was a structure behind that. And inside that structure is where Zechariah is ministering. You had the candlestick, you had the table of the showbread, and you had the altar of incense. And that area is where Zechariah is ministering, where the angel appears unto him. And then, of course, beyond that, there was a large curtain. And inside that curtain, the high priest only went one time a year. That was where the Ark of the Covenant was kept, with the mercy seat, and the blood was poured upon that thing once a year. But in this outer court where Zechariah was ministering, daily they were in there, trimming the lamps on the candles, changing the showbread once a week, and keeping the incense burning on the altar. And that's what Zechariah is doing here. You think about this, that Zechariah had spent his whole life preparing for this. From a child, he'd been trained about what his family's responsibility, their duties, when they're called upon to serve in the tabernacle, in the temple. It's likely that this was the only time in Zechariah's life that he personally performed his duty. Think about that. Because all the family had to do it, but they were chosen by lot who went in and actually performed the service. If not once, maybe only a few times in his life. And this point, this time was his appointed time. As he's up in years now to go into the tabernacle or the temple there and to perform this duty. This was his responsibility. Look at verse 6. It says, and they were both righteous before God. This is speaking both Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth. Righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. These folks are serious about their relationship with God. Obedient to God and His Word. Good people, serving in the temple here. Verse 7, and they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well stricken in years. Over the hill, long in the tooth, geezers, and no child. And God chose this occasion as Zechariah is there ministering in the tabernacle, in the temple, serving God there to appear to him and to speak. Look at verse 11. And it appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. That wasn't something he was prepared for. He knew what his duties were. He knew all about taking care of the incense altar and keeping that the incense, which was a symbol of the prayers of the people, keeping that burning forever, symbolizing the prayers of God's people going up before him forever. But he wasn't prepared for this appearance there. And so the angel comforts him and encourages him through this. Verse 12, and when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard. Thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness. And many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before them in the spirit and power of Elias, that's Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. What an amazing declaration. As he's startled by the appearance of this angel, and then to hear this declaration about what his child is to be. The one prophesied in the Old Testament. The one that was going to be the forerunner of the Messiah. God says, you and your wife have waited a long time. But now on this occasion, as you're serving here in the temple, I'm coming to tell you, not only is your prayer answered to have a child, but what a special child this is going to be. Certainly not to the level of Jesus Christ, but chosen to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ, who will be his cousin. He's startled by this, and the angel comforts him. Then he says this, verse 18. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. You know, we got a few years behind us. Even to the point of maybe being beyond the age of childbearing. He says, this is impossible. Verse 19, and the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. God sent me here for this purpose, Zacharias. God has appointed me to tell you of this appointment that you have as well, this divine appointment. Verse 20, and behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. God pronounces a judgment on him because of his unbelief, because of his doubts. He questioned and he doubted. And how many times does that trip us up? You think about just in the plan and purpose of God, the very thing started with doubts upon a part of Adam and Eve. Satan came to them in the Garden of Eden, came to Eve, as she's looking at that forbidden fruit of that tree there, it begins to plant doubts in her mind. And look what those doubts led her to disobey God and to bring a curse on all of humanity. Because she doubted what God had said. And certainly Zacharias' judgment isn't near to the extent of Adam and Eve's, but still for 9 months, he is silenced. Can't speak. You're going to be dumb for 9 months, not able to utter a single word. You go to your family gatherings and you're going to be sitting back in the corner because you can't converse with people. Left out for 9 months, this silence. And God calls it a sign. Look at verse 19. The angel answered, saying to him, I am Gabriel, stand in the presence of God, and not sent to speak unto thee, and show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. He says, how can this be? He says, I'll tell you how it is. Because God said it. But because you doubted, here's your sign, Zacharias. Here's the proof. You're not going to be able to speak. He's silenced. The most valuable thing we can learn as children of God is to believe God, to trust Him. Look at Proverbs. Keep your finger here. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. I'm sure most, if not all of you, could probably quote this passage. But let's take a look at it for a moment. Proverbs chapter 3. Solomon writes these words beginning in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. That's where we get tripped up. But it just doesn't make sense. We're old and stricken in years. How can this be? Lean not unto thine own understanding. When God tells you something, He's going to do it. There should be no doubt about it, no question in our minds. That thing gets us into trouble repeatedly. He says in verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. The disciples doubted Jesus Christ and His abilities. As they were in the sea, in the ship in the Sea of Galilee, and that storm rose up. Master, we perish! And He calmed the sea. Thomas doubted that Jesus Christ had risen from the grave. And repeatedly we get tripped up with doubts. Folks, we need to learn to trust Him. You think about this. This incident here in Luke chapter 1, as this angel appears to Zacharias about this child that's going to come, everything in the Old Testament has been leading up to this moment, this pivotal point in history. I mean, you go through the scriptures and you start clear back in the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 3, you got the first prophecy of Jesus Christ about the woman, seed of the woman bruising the serpent's head and the serpent bruising the seed of the woman's heel. That's a prophecy of Jesus Christ and the crucifixion. Because the crucifixion is the one form of punishment that in the process of it, the heel is bruised. Think about that. And it began clear back there in the Garden of Eden, that very first prophecy. And from there on, they just piled up. And all throughout, everything in the Old Testament is looking forward to this particular moment right here. What this is the beginning of, as John is to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And then, when Jesus Christ is born, that pivotal point, everything else is based upon that. God's plan and purpose just comes right down to this one particular point in history. Galatians chapter 4 says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. The fullness of time, it's all come to right at this moment, this particular point. Go to Malachi chapter 1, or chapter 3, excuse me. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. Now this is John the Baptist we're talking about, looking at here. He says in chapter 3 of verse 1 of Malachi, behold, I will send my messenger, that's John the Baptist, and he shall prepare the way before me. The Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to His temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, He shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Go to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, and as we about a month or so ago wrapped up our study of the book of Isaiah, if you remember, this chapter is a pivotal point in Isaiah. There's a change that takes place here. And from this chapter on to the rest of Isaiah, it's looking to the future, which is future yet for us today. Prior to that, most of it's history leading up to there. But we come to chapter 40. And look at verse 3 of Isaiah chapter 40. the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Again, that's about John the Baptist. So this message that Zechariah is getting from this angel is something that Zechariah is familiar with. This man had studied the scriptures. He was a priest. He knew about these things. And as this news is being communicated to him, it's like, wait a minute. That was about my son. And he doubted this. That was his error. But God, in the fullness of time, is bringing this thing all to pass. And we look now at so we've got his position and character, his error, and now the consequence. So think about this. 9 months of silence. 9 months of being shut out of things. You know, with the hearing problem, even with the hearing aids, there's times that there's a lot of noise going on, you know, like when we get around our families. I can't hear a thing. I can hear, but I can't understand a thing that's being said. So I kind of have a sense of what Zechariah might have felt like for 9 months. Just sitting there in a corner, not a part of anything that's going on, because he can't communicate. 9 months. He's sitting there thinking about all that he'd heard while in the temple serving, offering that incense on the altar there. 9 months going over in his mind all the things that that angel had told him. 9 months as he sits back and watches the belly of his wife begin to swell, thinking, that's what he's talking about. This prayer that we had prayed for years and had given up hope of ever seeing that thing come to pass. And what a way it's come to pass. That not only is God going to bless us with a child, but a very special and unique child who is filled from the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb, the angel had told him. And he's thinking about all these things and pondering them. And waiting for the birth of this precious child. Look at down at verse 57 of Luke chapter 1. Verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered. And in between here, of course, in her sixth month, Mary has come to visit her. And that's when Mary gets the message from the angel that she is the appointed one that's going to give birth to Jesus Christ. So now 3 months after that visit with Mary, this child is born. Verse 58, and her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. Man, they're excited along with them. What a special blessing this is. And it came to pass that on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias, after the name of his father. You know, dad can't say anything, right? Well, it just stands to reason he's going to name him after himself. That's just kind of the standard procedure, right? And his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. Because that was what the angel told Zacharias the child's name was to be. And obviously, Zechariah has communicated this to Elizabeth. So she says, wait a minute. No. That's not what we're doing. Verse 61. And they said unto her, there is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they all marveled. That's strange. Why would you do that? Then notice, and his mouth was opened immediately. He had doubted. God bound his tongue for 9 months. He's not doubting anymore. God said, his name's John. His name will be John. And then God loosed his tongue. And his tongue loosed, and he spake, and he praised God. Now look, let's read on here. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them, and all these sayings were noise abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And they lay, and the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied. This child's been filled with the Holy Ghost from his womb, but now Zacharias, his father, is filled with the Holy Ghost, and he begins to prophesy. Verse 68, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. He hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. John knows what's coming. This is not just about his son now, but it's about his son's cousin as well, Jesus Christ. Verse 70, he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. Now he's speaking about his son. My son, he's been chosen to be the forerunner, to proclaim, to prepare the way for this promised Messiah that we've heard about, that we've longed for, that we've prayed for all these centuries. And now it's coming to pass. Verse 77, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. What an amazing thing. As his tongue is now loosed, and he just bursts forth with praise and glory and honor to the God who has chosen him, divinely appointed. You think about this. First, the judgment came because he doubted. Because Zacharias only saw the problem in the way of what was being promised. How oftentimes is that the way we react to things? God says, here's something I want you to do. Well, what about? We're old and stricken in age. How am I going to do this? If God told you to do it, that's not your problem. Our responsibility is to be obedient, to be willing to do whatever God wants us to do. This was God's divine appointment for this man. Now, I don't doubt that there were other things that of significance in and throughout his life. Certainly, he'd ministered to other people. He was said to be righteous and obeying the commandments of God and blameless. So he'd been faithful to God for all of his years. But if nothing else, God had this one thing as a purpose for Zacharias, to father this chosen child to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. I believe that God has at least one thing for each and every one of us to do. Divine appointments. I don't know what that is. That's your responsibility, to walk with God, to be able to find out what that is, and then be obedient to that. God has a purpose for each and every life on the face of this earth. And as long as you're drawing breath, God's got a purpose for you to fulfill. It may not be some great thing like John the Baptist giving, you know, bringing him into the world. But God has a purpose for each and every one of us. And our responsibility is to trust God and to be obedient to him. Forget the difficulties. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. God will show you the way. I can go through time and time again in our lives, just our move from here to here from Kansas. Just amazing how God just put everything together for us. When we moved here, we had no place to live. We didn't know, I mean, we didn't even have a place to stay when we arrived in town that day. God worked it out. There were some things we learned along the way, maybe even some uncomfortable times along the way, but God was in control of all of it. Folks, if we trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Trust him. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Father, I pray that this example of the life of Zacharias and this incident from his life can serve as a reminder to us that we are servants of you with a role to fulfill, and in the process of doing our normal duties, oftentimes is when you appear to us with a special appointment. God, help your people to be prepared to not doubt, to trust, and to be willing to let you have your will and way in their lives. God, help us as we enter into this final week before with people's minds focused upon gifts and giving, but even that, this is a time when the world thinks about a baby in a manger that came to this earth 2,000 years ago, who was the Savior of the world. And God, may we be used of you to point people to the significance of that baby in the manger. You who became flesh and dwelt among us. God, help us to be available for whatever appointments you have, divine appointments you might have for us, especially this week, to be used of you to bring some soul to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Father, if there's any here this morning that never trusted you, may they understand that need of you as well and come and receive you today. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Turn to number